the water. Matthew 11. The message today is a life lived under the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Father, we thank you for the words of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We acknowledge that all that he said about any physical thing as well as any spiritual thing originated with thee. Thy Son said, I speak not of myself, but I tell you the things that the Father who sent me told me to say. We thank you for that. So, our God, for this portion that we have read again today, spoken by thy Son, we ask that thy Spirit may make it alive, as it is alive, to our hearts. So empower and prepare, and we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, as thou hast promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If I ask you how many have accepted the invitation that the Lord Jesus gave in the portion that I read to you, probably almost all of you would say, I. But I would reply, I do not believe you. Because the portion and the invitation that I read to you contains not one part, but two parts. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I've done that. I've come to the Lord Jesus. I've received his rest. But he didn't stop. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now, how many of you can say, and I would like to see a hand, that you have faithfully, every day of your life, borne the yoke of the Lord Jesus? I told you, you couldn't say that you had believed and accepted the invitation that the Lord Jesus had given, because most of us are like the man who went for an interview about a job. And he went and he said, now, the first thing I want to know is, how much does it pay? What are the hours? What are the fringe benefits? Tell me about the days of sick leave. Tell me about the bonuses. Tell me about the vacation. Tell me about the medical assurances. Tell me about everything that's going to be mine when I retire. And the man got through. And then the employer said, don't you want to ask anything else? He said, no. He said, well, I think you should know a little something about the job that you're supposed to do. And so most all of us want to know, am I saved? Is his blood sufficient? Do I have eternal life and I will never perish? Do I have a place reserved in heaven for me? And the Lord, when he gets through, says, yes. But how many of you said, now, Lord, exactly what do you expect me to do for you? The Savior is never at fault, not explaining to all that come to him what he expects of them after he freely gives eternal life because of faith in him. In Luke 9, he deals with three, and the first one says, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord said, you will. He said, the foxes have their holes, the birds of the air have their nests, the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Oh. He said to another, follow me. Allow me first to go and bury my father. He said, leave the dead to bury their own dead, you go and publish abroad the kingdom of God. And so all of those that come to the Lord Jesus for salvation and for service, he tells them both parts, not the one part. You come wanting to know, am I going to be delivered from hell? And the Lord says, that is a minor thing. You can rest assured of everything that I've promised that I'm going to do for you. But what you should make sure of is your ability to do what I want you to do for me. And most of us are unconcerned. Thank God, I've met on occasion people to whom I've witnessed, and they honestly said, I do not believe if I trust Christ as Savior that I could live the life that he expects of me. I do not want to embarrass Jesus. Thank God for such a thought. But most of us never take that into consideration. But the Savior has told us what we have to do to be saved. What? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank God for that. And then he also tells you what he expects of you after you receive as a free gift his salvation. And it's this. Take my yoke upon you. So, we are glad to have that burden removed from us. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Laden with sin, religion, the Lord Jesus removed that burden. And he says, now that that's gone, put on my yoke. But most of us are not concerned with that. And what we fail to understand is that at no time in our existence have we ever been free. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 times about our being slaves. You were bought with a price. Glorify God with your body and then that spirit that is in it. And it says in chapter 7, it said, he that was called being a slave is the Lord's freed man. And he that was called being free is the Lord's slave. So tell me at any time when you have ever been free of a Lord, the flesh having dominion over you, Satan, the god of this world, having dominion over you. So when you come to Christ, it is simply an exchange of masters and an exchange of burdens, if everything is complete. But most of the time, when we come to Christ, we're quite willing to get rid of that burden that will weigh us down to hell, but not so concerned about taking upon us Christ's burden. Listen to what he said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he says, take this yoke and now take this burden. And so you say, I'm free, free from sin, but you become the Lord's slave. That's the word. They say servant, bond servant, but the word is doulos, an absolute slave. And that is what Paul gloried in. Paul, Saul, a servant, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the will of God. So there's nothing more glorious. So if we can boast, tell me, who is your master? The Lord Jesus is my master. But what I fear is this, that we go through life talking about being free, rather than Paul, the way he introduces so many of his epistles, Paul, a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of a storm, when the ship is about to go down, he said, there stood by me this night an angel of the God, whose I am, whom I serve. Who would think about serving the Lord when you're about ready to drown in the ocean? But Paul never forgot it. Whose I am, whom I serve. He always wore that yoke. But I think that most Christians I know are like two things. If in my neighborhood I see a pedigreed dog running down the street with a collar and a leash, I know that he has escaped from his master. and at the same time, when I've been on a farm on occasion, these cows that are worth thousands of dollars somehow compel this person to leave the gate open and the cow will be loose. And so when I look and see a cow that is in the corn, eating it, running free, I immediately go and tell the man that owns them, I said, one of your cows is loose. What? And he goes and gets all the help and they chase that cow. And finally, they bring it back into the barn, put it in its stall where it should be, and then it's there for milking. But if I look at most Christians, they're like pedigreed dogs because we are pedigreed in the sense that we are now of God. But I look and I see that they have a collar on, but the leash is not in the hand of their master. So I find them running loose in the corn. And I say, yes, they are pedigreed, but they're not under control of their master. And that is what the Savior is exhorting us to do. He says, take my yoke upon you. Now understand this. If you know anything, and if you have any degree of intelligence, if the Lord says, take my yoke upon you, even a brute beast would know. If the farmer comes out, as it used to be in days of old, and instead of a yoke, would put on the collar, whatever's necessary, the father to animal, every dumb animal knows that when the collar is put on him, I've got to plow today. I've got to pull the wagon today. He would know it. But when Christ said, you put my yoke on you, do you not understand that he's telling you that you have to go to work? And when the saddle is put on an animal, he knows that somebody's going to be on him as a burden. And the Lord says, my yoke, my burden. And so a yoke means this, that you are to work for God. And a burden means that you are to carry things for God. But he makes this contrast. Whereas he does not deceive you, telling you that I will remove your burden, I will give you rest, and then you're free. You're not responsible to me. You're not responsible to anyone. You may go through life doing as you please. No, you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his son in heaven. You turn from one to serve another. And that is what the Savior is trying to tell us. And so a yoke means just as a mule that has a man behind him with the reins, it means that he is subservient to the one that is plowing with him. If he has the collar or the oxen have yokes on, they know that they have to work. And if the saddle is on the beast, he knows he has to bear his master. He has to bear a burden. Now, how many of you have determined that by God's grace, I shall not only take from the Lord the rest of soul, but I shall take from the Lord the yoke and the burden that he has placed on you? But most of us, I have accused of being like the cow that was loose, the dog that was loose, and we're entirely out of place. It's so evident when you see it. And this is true concerning us who have failed to accept the responsibility that Christ places upon us in Matthew chapter 11. We're without the yoke. This is what it says, and I thought I would read you the verse, but I'll simply bring it to your attention. It says, let as many slaves that are under the yoke be obedient unto their masters in all things, that the word of God be not blasphemed, that there be no dishonor. That's the gist of it. As many as are slaves under the yoke, that's why I said, a life lived under the yoke of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there were slaves in Paul's day, and they knew what it was to be a slave under the yoke of a hard master. Well, I am a slave under the yoke of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells me this. He says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you look at the lives of the choice servants of God, you would think he had made a mistake in letting the Lord Jesus take their burden and give them his. But the Savior said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And this is what Paul says. He says in Romans 8, 4, no, in, there are two references. One in Romans 8 and one in 2 Corinthians 4. I'll give you that one first. He says, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us more and more an eternal weight of glory. Our light affliction. Then you read in 2 Corinthians 12 what light affliction is. And then you will say, our light affliction. And then he says in Romans chapter 8 about, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. So, only in a relative sense. And here is what I discover. That something that is impossible to bear, a duty that is impossible to carry out under sin, becomes something that is light and easy under the grace of God. You remember the Savior in John chapter 4? He was weary and he sat at the well. And the disciples came back and they said, Master, eat. And he said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. He said, has anybody given him anything to eat? He said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. He was exhausted physically, but he would say, Father, your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And that's the only way that you can look at it. The difference is this. Under the burden of sin, the burden that Satan places upon you, that is crushing you down to hell, it is a weight that is unbearable. But the light burden, the responsibilities of life that Christ places upon you that seems so unbearable to the world, you rejoice in heart, and as Moses, you cast off all the glories that Egypt could bestow upon you, and you accept the suffering with the people of God, esteeming the sufferings of Christ a greater reward than the pleasures of sin for a season. And so you have to change your thinking. Because if a natural man were to look at the burdens of those that Christ says, you come and I'll get rid of those burdens, and then the burdens upon a man like Saul of Tarsus become Paul, he would say, why, this man is out of his mind. You would exchange what you have for what Jesus is going to give to you? Yes. And the one like Paul, who was serving the Lord Jesus, would say, indeed, my Savior, your yoke is easy, your burden is light. So, God wants us to know about yokes. And he tells us about yokes. What is so beautiful, and I'll give you a little bit of the definition, the yoke simply means a pair, a coupling together. When it says a pair of turtle doves, that's a yoke of turtle doves. And I'm just spiritualizing it for you now, so that you could understand it. It's two working together. He said, take my yoke upon you. If you have a yoke of oxen, it's always two. But twice in the scripture, it speaks of two. In Mark 16, it said, they went into all the world, the Lord working with them. So who is on the other side of that yoke working with you? You say, the Lord. My God, what a companion. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, working together with him. So think of that. So if you are slack in putting your shoulder to the task, then the Lord Jesus is left to do it all. And he's with you. And the Savior was weary from doing the will of God. He sat wearied by the world. Our Savior was weary because a storm is on the sea and he's in the back of the boat asleep. Why? Because he's so exhausted from doing the will of God. How many of us can say we are so exhausted from doing the will of God, we are tired. We can't rest. But the truth of the matter is that we are exhausted from doing sin and pleasures. But the Savior was exhausted from doing the will of God. And he could say, that is my burning passion and life. That's my meat, to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work. And the Lord Jesus, and this is beautiful, and I will tell it to you, you will find in both Numbers 19 and in Deuteronomy chapter 21, the picture here. If you're going to have the sprinkling of the water of purification, you have to have a red heifer without spot and without blemish, and it says, upon which a yoke never came. And then, concerning the sacrifice in Deuteronomy 21, it says, you have to find a heifer that has never done any work and that has never had a yoke upon it. Not one man other than the Lord Jesus can meet that qualification. Because you are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, you are spotted completely when you come into the world, and you have served Satan and sin your whole life long. You've been under his dominion, and the Lord Jesus is the only one who was born without spot and blemish and never had any yoke upon him but the yoke of his Father. And that is what we have in Numbers and in Deuteronomy, a picture of the Lord Jesus who first bears that yoke. And he is the one who says, now, I want you to come and work with me. There are yokes that our Savior wants us to bear. And there are yokes he tells us to cast off. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And so the Savior says, I want to work with you. But you're yoked together with an unbeliever. And so you're not working with Christ. And the Savior says, I forbid it. So think of that. You could work with Christ, but instead, and it says an unequal yoke, it's a heterogeneous yoke. And that is pictured again and again and again in Deuteronomy. It said, you are not to plow with an ox, which is a clean animal, and an ass, an unclean animal. You are not to wear two different kinds of cloth, woolen and linen. And you are not to sow your field with two different kinds of seed. I see, wheat and tares, all of this is spiritual. But it's telling us, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And the Lord said, that is what I'm telling you. And the sad thing is this, you don't realize it. But when our Savior speaks of marriage, he says, what God hath yoked together, the same word, what God hath yoked together, let not man put asunder. And so man would put asunder that which God has yoked together. This note of joy. Paul in Philippians 4 speaks of one and he says, yea, true yoke fellow, help those women. And so the Lord Jesus is always working with us. And then on occasion, you can find a true yoke fellow who will work with you. And you'll find those who have cast off the yoke. Archippus had cast off the yoke. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he says to Timothy, stir into flame the gift that you have. Neglect not the gift that God has given you. Understand, here they were to take the yoke, but they were liable to cast off the yoke. So today, if someone says, have you obeyed and accepted the invitation of the Savior? Come unto me. Yes. Think it through again. Not only the coming and receiving rest, but the taking the yoke and the burden of Christ. Understand it fully and accept the Lord's yoke. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the great honor of serving the Lord Jesus. What can we say about coming as sinners? Oh God, it's with shame and derision that we approach him. But he said, come unto me and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. We thank you. But Father, that would be enough to be forgiven. But then he says, take my yoke on you. We are thankful that he gives us the high honor of being his slave. And we rejoice as slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are thankful that whatever suffering there is, it works forth in eternal weight of glory. And our affliction, though it seems great, our life affliction, which is for a moment, our God, we are so thankful that now we have understanding in heaven. So let us be those who have completely accepted the invitation of Christ. Come and have our burdens removed, but also taken his yoke upon us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.